It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
We encourage you to attend one of our three campuses. Please don't sit at home, watch Netflix, or go on social media on Sunday morning. Amen? It's the day you want to be in the house of God, and you want God's blessings upon your life and upon your home and your marriage. May God bless you today. Okay, I heard the story of a judge. It was Christmas time, and the judge was in a very happy mood. And he was ready to forgive anybody. You know, he was ready to just pardon. So he looked at this prisoner who was standing there in the stands and says, "Hey, what are you charged with?" And the prisoner said, "Your Honor, I was doing Christmas shopping early." The judge said, "That's no offense. Why in the world, how early were you shopping?" So the prisoner replied, "Before the shop opened." I'm going to speak this morning from Luke chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 30. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" And reading verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Can you say that? "For nothing is impossible with God." Say that again. Amen. Mary asked, "How can this be?" And the angel went on to explain the process. You see, a few words earlier, Zechariah asked the question, "How can this be since my wife is very old?" And he was judged for that. But here Mary is asking the same question, "How can this be?" And the angel goes on to explain, and verse 37 in the King James Version, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Say this, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I have rephrased that sentence. I've entitled my message today, "All things are possible with God." Hallelujah. How many of you believe that this morning? All things are possible with God. The year was 1809. The world was in turmoil. International news majorly focused on the war in Austria. Napoleon's army was sweeping through the land. Blood was flowing freely. Nothing else mattered. Nobody cared for anything. They didn't care for couples. They didn't care for sale. They didn't care for festivals. They didn't care for any children that were born. The world was overlooking some very significant births. In England, for example, Charles Darwin was born in 1809. He would come up with the theory of evolution. He was born on the 12th of Feb, 1809. On the same day, 12th of Feb, 1809, the cries of a newborn infant in a rugged log cabin in Kentucky, USA, the child's name, Abraham Lincoln. Same day. In the same year, 1809, William Gladstone was born, who went on to become England's finest statesman. That same year, Alfred Tennyson was born, who would one day impact the literary world in a significant way. In 1809, same year, American writer and poet Edgar Allan Poe was born. 1809, the same year, French educator and inventor Louis Braille, who invented a system of reading and writing for the blind, he was born the same year. If they had TV those days, the TV headlines will read this: "The destiny of the world is being shaped on the Australian battlefield today." But history was actually being shaped in the cradles of England, of France, and America. 2,000 years ago, in Judea, there was only one news. There was census being taken. Everybody had to go to their hometown. There was one news all over the world: there is a census. But a young Jewish woman cradled the biggest news the world has ever seen: the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Can you say amen? My friends, all things are possible at Christmas. All things are possible with God. Say this with me. All things are possible with God. In Luke chapter 1, we find two miracles. Two humanly impossible situations. Let me talk about the first one. It's talking about Elizabeth's hopelessness. We read the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Bible says that both of them were very old. They were probably in the late 70s and early 80s or mid 80s. They were descendants of priests from the family of Aaron. The Bible says both were righteous in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were a godly couple who served the Lord. And yet they were childless. His wife Elizabeth was barren. I want you to know the premise. I want you to see what everybody believes. Everybody believes it is impossible for an older woman to conceive naturally. It's impossible. It's impossible for somebody in the late 70s and early 80s or mid 80s to conceive naturally. Somewhere in the mid 40s, women will go through menopause. And that's the end of the childbearing. You don't bear children after the mid 40s. Unless there is some medical things that they do. This couple have been praying their whole life for a child. But until now, no answer had come from heaven. The angel appeared to Zechariah as he was serving in the temple and said to him in verse 13 of Luke 1, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Oh, thank God. You know, I want to ask you, how many of you have been praying for a miracle for years together? Lift your hands. You've been praying for years together for a miracle. This couple probably been married in the early or mid-20s. And now they're in the late 70s or early 80s. Almost 50 to 60 years of prayer for a child. And say, "God, are you listening?" They're not wicked people. They're godly people. They're serving in the temple. And they're asking God for a miracle. I have news for you. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. Can you say amen? All things are possible with God. I want you to keep repeating that. I want it to sink into your spirit. When you go from this place, you know there is a God who came from heaven and he can provide anything that is impossible with man. It is possible with him. Your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear your son and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Let me read from verse 17. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This couple faced impossible situations. Very old, they resigned to the fact that they would never hold a baby in their arms. They resigned to the fact they will never hear the cries of an infant in their home. And they kept on praying against all hope. My friends, if you are somebody given to prayer, keep praying against all hope. Keep praying when the report is against you. Keep praying when the medical report is against you. Keep praying when the doctors say this will never be healed. Keep praying because there is a God who is alive, who hears prayer. I had asked a couple to come here, but they're unable to come. On 24th of February, 2023, my wife and I, we visited their home. This couple have been praying for a child for a number of years. They've had some miscarriages. They're unable to conceive. They've gone through different kinds of... And we remember going to their home and we said, "Listen, God will provide a miracle." We prayed for them. And I want to tell you, if there are couples sitting here believing God for a child, I want to guarantee you on the basis of God's word, God will provide a child if you can put your faith in his word. Can you say amen? God will provide that. This couple didn't have children. So we went, we prayed for the child. One of the things we prayed is that, "God, in the next 12 months, God, I pray and I decree a baby into this family." I prayed that and believe God. Well, that very next week she conceived. And they delivered a baby in the month of November. Now you can calculate from Feb to 9, it takes 9 months, right? Hello. Yeah, so I'm telling the truth. We have a baby, a miracle baby, And they are planning to dedicate their baby on the 25th of Feb, which is a Sunday, a year from the day we prayed. 24th Feb we prayed, 25th. I'm telling you, God specializes in providing miracles. Your wife, your prayer has been answered. Your wife will bear your son. God answers Elizabeth's hopelessness. If you're hopeless today on this Christmas day, and you've been hopeless through the whole year, I have good news for you. God answers in the midst of your hopelessness. You will call his name John. All things are with God. The second miracle is also found in Luke chapter 1. God is planning to come into the world. And he wants to come in a way that cannot be duplicated by human beings. He decided to come by means of a virgin. He was looking for a young woman. And Mary found favor with God. And the angel comes to Mary and say, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You're going to have a child. And this young woman, a teenager, she is baffled. God answers Virgin Mary's dilemma. He says, how can I be? I have never been with a man. How can this be? And the angel explains the process. I want you to know, God did come in the form of a little baby 2,000 years ago. Humanly, it is impossible for a young woman to conceive without male intervention. Humanly, it is impossible for a young virgin to conceive without a male intervention. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. God does a miracle of all miracles, a miracle that had never happened before and never happened since. Prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:4, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years after this prophecy, the birth of Jesus Christ happened. Listen to this. I want you to note three things. Three things about Mary. Number one, Mary was young. Number two, Mary was engaged. She had a man. Number three, she was a virgin. Now, today, young people are too quick to throw away their virginity or their purity. I don't understand this. Sex is everywhere. Everybody seems to do it. And as Christian people, you feel you have to follow what the world is doing. I want to encourage every young person, when God is looking from heaven for a vessel he can use, he is looking for you. Mary found favor with God because of her dedication, her faith, and her chastity. She was highly favored by God. Mary was staying a virgin. Mary staying a virgin was a statement of her faith, her commitment to honor God with her life and with her body. God is looking to use you, my friend. Young people, are you listening to me? You don't have to do what everybody does. You can stay holy, and God can use you in a mighty way. The angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby, and the government will be on his shoulder. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the role of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. How can this be? At Christmas, God defies medical science. God defies logic. People go through all kinds of situations. And I want you to know this morning, all things are possible with God at Christmas. Christmas is here to tell you all things are possible. In our world, you probably have been through impossible situations. In the first service, I met a gentleman walking in. The doctors have given up hope. But you know what? We have not given up hope. We are people of faith, and we trust God. For whatever the doctors have said, we said, no, we're going to believe beyond what the doctor says. Hallelujah. I want to talk about four other things that are commonly impossible with man. The first thing I want you to know is there is a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart. Everybody knows there is an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, almighty God somewhere. We call it superpower or higher power or almighty or creator. The problem is nobody has seen God. And the premise is this. This is what everybody believes. It is impossible for man to ever know God. It is impossible for man to know God. But I have good news for you. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. Answers man's utter confusion. You know, we are always confused because nobody knows who God is. Is it a he or a she? Male, female? Is it large or short or tall? Is it black? Is God black or white? Or brown, chocolate color like us? Or yellow? Is God Chinese looking or Indian looking or American looking? Is God a spirit or does he have a body? Is he harsh? Is he cruel? We don't know. We always picture God to be a very angry person, ready to whack you up every time you do a mistake. We don't know who God is. We do not know anybody who's gone to heaven, did some research, and come back and tell us the truth. From the creation of the world, mankind has been in utter confusion. We have gone to the deepest rivers. We have crossed the oceans. We have climbed the highest mountains. We've offered our bodies. We've walked on hot coals. We've done everything we can just so we can know God. But no one has found him. And so man has come with their own imagination of what God would look like. And we have created gods with our own hands based on what we imagine. And we call gods made with human hands. I want you to know there's a desperate hunger for God among people. God, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart. And our heart will never be satisfied unless we encounter that supreme being. At Christmas, God decided to reveal himself. That's the news of Christmas. The thing that is impossible with man is possible with God. This almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God decided to take on human flesh and was born to a virgin, came to Bethlehem. Listen, it is not a myth. It is history. You can travel to Israel and find it out. I heard the story of an Indian man who visited America. This man had respect for life, respect for all life. He did not want even an ant to be trampled upon. He didn't want even a creature, a worm. He didn't want a dog or a cat or a chicken, nothing. He never believed in non-vegetarian food. He believed that all life is sacred. When he went to America, somebody told him that God stepped out of eternity and came into our world as a tiny little baby. And he was unable to believe it. He said, how can this be? I cannot imagine this all-encompassing. The supreme being born as a tiny baby. Absolutely no, it doesn't make sense. Well, a few days later, he came back to India and he was in his field. He was walking in his field and he saw an anthill. He saw hundreds of ants walking in and out of that hole. There's several holes and they just made a hill. And while he was just observing these ants, he heard the noise of a vehicle coming. It was a tractor. It was coming the same way where this anthill was. And he knew in the next few moments, this tractor is going to just come and clear that entire hill, level it up for cultivation. In his heart, because of his respect for life, he said, listen, how do I communicate with this ant? If I'm going to write on the sand, a tractor is coming, these ants will never read it. If I were to shout, these ants are not going to hear it. They will never understand. But, oh, I wish I could become like a little ant and tell these ants that please move out because I tracked. And suddenly the Holy Spirit dawned the revelation on his heart. That's exactly what Jesus did. To save mankind that is struggling to know God, struggling in sin, struggling about eternal life, God said, there is no way they can know unless I become like them. And that's what happened at Christmas Day. God decided to leave heaven, come into our world, and reveal God to us. The Bible says the fullness of Godhead dwells in this one person, Jesus. In other words, those who have seen Jesus are able. Now, I want you to be I want you to give an unbiased look. I want you to scrutinize. In fact, I want you to be a critic and scrutinize the life of Jesus. And I want to challenge you to do that. Please go ahead. No matter what background, no matter what faith you are, I want to challenge you to go and put Jesus Christ on a thorough, critical scrutiny. And ask yourself, is this really God in flesh? When people saw him, they did not see an angry man with a whip. They did not see a man who was cursing. They did not see a man who was destroying mankind. They saw somebody who was very loving. They saw somebody who loved sinners, ate with them. They saw somebody who could be born in a palace to a king and yet chose to be born to a poor carpenter. He could have been born in a 5-star hospital. Apollo Hospital or whatever great hospital in Bethlehem. And yet he chose to be born in a stable. He chose to be born in a stable. He could have chosen. You know, the reason he did it is common people could come. One of the first visitors to him were the shepherds from the field. Uneducated, uncultured, just ordinary folk. They saw the angels singing and they rushed to see the baby. Even today, common people like you and me can come and meet with Jesus and have an encounter. God came to our world so we can know him. Instead of us running to the mountains and the rivers and the oceans and the pilgrim places, God has come to us. You don't need to run no more. You just need to come to him. And he will reveal himself to you. I have news for you. The same Jesus lived a life. He died on Calvary, shed his blood. On the third day he rose again. And I have news. Today he's still alive. We are celebrating the birthday of Jesus Christ, not the birth anniversary. We celebrate the anniversary of somebody who's dead and gone. We're celebrating the birthday of somebody who's still alive. Listen, Jesus did things only God can do. He healed the sick. He raised dead people. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the blind, the mute, the lame. He cast out demons. He walked on water. He knew the human heart. He could tell you exactly what you were thinking. He revealed God to man. He showed that God is a loving God who loves all people. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should never perish. The reason God came is that you and I will never perish, but we will find life. Friends, humanly it's impossible to know God. People have been running from pillar to post, but with God, all things are possible. He came. We can know him. We can know him. The other thing I want to say is this. God answers man's deepest problem. Our greatest problem is the fact that we look all, by the way, all of you look so nice. Many of you have done your shopping. Thank you men for your credit cards. Thank you ladies, thank you for different malls we could go and buy lovely stuff. Have you done your shopping? Thank you. That's the most spiritual answer. Listen, we look all nice on the outside. We have nice hairstyles. We wear a tie, jacket. Pattu sari is beautiful. But one of the things we struggle is deep inside we struggle. Deep inside we struggle. Nobody knows the struggle you and I go through in the depths of our heart. There is a struggle in every human heart. Behind the smile, there would be a tear. Our deepest problem is this. We do wrong things against God. We are sinners by nature, by choice, and by deed. And this is the premise I want to share. It is impossible for man to obtain forgiveness for their own sins in your own effort. In other words, by myself, I can never find forgiveness to my sins. In other words, you can be the billionaire and still will not have adequate money to pay for your sins. Your money cannot save you. You cannot do all the punishment you want to take, beat yourself, walk on hot coals, kill yourself, sacrifice your children. Whatever you do will never take the guilt and the sin from deep inside. At Jesus' birth, the angel came and told Joseph, "You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus went on to live a sinless life, and he offered his life as a sacrifice for people. He took your sins and mine on the cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus can give you, can provide complete forgiveness for every sin. The question I want to ask you is, are you struggling with sin? Are you struggling deep inside? I mean, everything looks good. You're successful. You have a smile. You have a business. You have a job. But there is a vacuum. There is an emptiness deep inside. You've come to the right place. And I want to tell you, this Christmas child can provide complete forgiveness for every sin that you and I have committed. No matter how terrible the sin, you can find forgiveness. 100% forgiveness from Jesus today. His blood has paid for every wrong you and I have done. The next thing I want to say is, there is a desperate longing in human heart to connect and communicate with God. God answers man's desperate longing. The premise is this: it is impossible for human beings to talk to God. No, nobody can come. Nobody can commune with him. Nobody can have a conversation with him. But through this Christmas baby, we can have a conversation. You know, in our desperateness, in our helplessness, we always run to religious people. We run to either the pastor or the priest or the pujari or the malvi. We go to the godmen. We go to religious people and say, "Hey, you pray for us. You connect to God." But I have good news for you. This Christmas baby allows you and I to come to God directly. You can talk to him. You can commune with him. And he will hear your prayer. If you don't believe what I say, I want you to try this out. Go to your house, close the door, and look to heaven and say, "Jesus, I heard the short pastor tell me today that I can talk to you and you will hear my prayer." And I want you to know something. God will answer your prayer. Hallelujah. God will answer. God will answer. I heard the story of Sadhu Sundar Singh. He was desperate for God. And one day he came out and said, "You know, I'm going to kill myself. I want to know this God." And God revealed himself to Sadhu Sundar Singh. I also heard about Dr. D.G.S. Dinakaran. I think he wanted to jump in front of a running train. He said, "God, if you're there." And God came and revealed himself to Dr. D.G.S. And look at what God has done through that one man. My friend, are you hungry to know him? Are you hungry to know God personally? Your search ends today. You can know him. You can communicate with him through this Christmas baby. All things are possible with God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. God longs to talk with you. God longs to communicate with you. God longs to fellowship with you. The question is, do we have time? Do we have time? And are we willing? We can have a personal relationship with Almighty Living God. And finally, I want to say this. All human beings have a fear. Number one, of death. But number two, after death, where will we end up? All human beings are afraid. You know, as pastors, we go to funerals. And I see their faith come alive, whatever they believe in. When we come in front, when we are confronted with death, we see that. Listen to me. Jesus provides a guarantee. Now, it is impossible. It is impossible for a man to have a guarantee of heaven after this life. No way. Humanly is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God answers to man's eternal destiny. He answers to man's eternal destiny. The Bible says God has put eternity in human heart. You know, when I go for funerals, I see the people that have faith. I see people who do not know what's happening. You know, one of the cliches we hear is this, oh, may their soul rest in peace. Have you heard that? It's a nice thing to say. It's a nice thing. It's like saying, happily married, you know, what is that? Happily married all living happily married all their life or something like that. Somebody help me with that sentence. Happily ever after. Now, married people know that's a joke, right? Unmarried people say, oh, happily married ever after. It's not true. In 3 weeks, you're fighting. Listen, listen. The cliche is, may their soul rest in. The question is, are they going to rest in peace or are they going to rust in pieces? We don't know. But just to make everybody happy, oh, may your soul rest in peace. Yeah, that's it. But listen, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus has given a guarantee of what happens after this life. Jesus said this. Jesus said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He said this. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if that person die, will live again. But you know what? There are a few things I want to share with you this morning. We have convinced ourselves that all religions are the same. Have you heard that? All religions are the same. Have you heard that? Let me see your hands. It's a nice thing to say. It's like you're saying, oh, may your soul rest in peace. It's a nice statement. It's nice to hear. But the question is it true? Who said it? You know, let's use the same logic in other fields of life. For example, let's use in the field of medicine. How many medical doctors are here? Medical doctors, so many of them, so many. Thank you. Medical doctors, let me use this in the medical field because I'm not a medical person. What if I tell you that all medicine is the same? That means allopathic, homeopathic, Ayurvedic, all are the same. So when my child is sick, I buy a little bit of allopathy, a little bit of Ayurvedic, a little bit of homeopathy, mix it together and give to my child. Is that right? I may kill the child. But because I don't know, I can say all medicine is the same. Let's use it in another field. What about if we use the field of politics? What if we go to the political parties, the TRS or BRS, and the BJP, and the Congress, and the Janata Dal, and the Aam Aadmi Party, Trinamool Congress, AIADF. What if I say all parties are the same? If you ask a politician, they say, no, we're different. On the surface level, we are the same, but fundamentally, we are different. Remember, when it comes to religion, surface level, we are the same. We all believe in good people, doing good to others, loving everybody, serving everybody, doing good to human, but fundamentally, we are different. Fundamentally, we are different. Let's use another logic. What if I say all ball is the same? A sportsman will say, no, sir. Basketball is different. Football is different. Volleyball is different. Tennis ball is different. Cricket ball is different. Table tennis is different. Ball, all the balls in the sports field are not the same. I was traveling one time to the US and a gentleman sitting next to me was somebody who did studies in cancer. And sitting just next to him, I said, listen, all cancer is the same. And he gave me a look like, what's wrong with you? He said, no. He said, there are different kinds of cancer. There's throat cancer. There's blood cancer. There's breast cancer. There's lung cancer. There is skin cancer. And they said, there are more than 200 kinds, types of cancers. But because I do not know, because of my ignorance, I can say all cancer is the same. You know something? The reason we say all are saying, all gods are saying, is because of our ignorance. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to heaven except through me. He made it so clear. Why was he so outright in his statement? Because I'll tell you why. Number one, he came from heaven. He knew the truth. And number two, he was telling everybody, it's not through religion we go up there. It is through a person. If you want to have guarantee of life eternal, it is not through religion. Some people say, if I have good deeds, if I'm a good moral person, a religious person, I will go to heaven. There is nobody good. If you don't believe me, ask your wife. All married couples know that you are not good. Until marriage, everybody is holy because nobody knows them. Once they're married, your spouse knows them, right? There is no husband here who will say the wife is without. Husband knows 100 mistakes of the wife. Listen, you ask the wife, she'll tell you 300 mistakes of the husband. Because wives don't forget. Men forget most of the time. There is nobody righteous. Nobody can go to heaven out of our own right, moral, religious, and pious life. It is not piety. Listen to me. What takes us to heaven is the fact that we are forgiven. It is forgiven people who go to heaven. It is not good people. It is forgiveness that takes. In other words, our sins need to be forgiven. And the only way to have our sins forgiven, Jesus Christ has done that. He has paid the price. He has shed his blood. His blood can wash us clean of every sin. Jesus guarantees a life after this life. He has taken care of our uncertain future. What is impossible with man is possible with God. I want you to close your eyes, my friends. I want to ask you today, perhaps you've come to the house today, you've come to this Christmas service, and I'm going to call the musicians and the singers to come. You've come and you're facing impossible situations. You have lost all hope. There's nobody to help you. Some have lost their jobs. Some are struggling in their marriages. Some are going through sickness or cancer. Some are in terrible debt. But today, Christmas is a ray of hope. Remember, all things are possible with God. And at Christmas, that is the message I want to share. There is an answer to Elizabeth's hopelessness. He provides answer to Virgin Mary's dilemma. He answers man's utter confusion. He has come to reveal who God is. He took care of man's deepest problem of sin. He can redeem us. He took care of man's desperate longing to connect with God, to communicate with God. Through Jesus, there is a bridge. We can know him. But finally, Jesus provides guarantee for man's eternal destiny. We do not have to go from this world. We can go facing our future. You don't have to be afraid of death because God takes care of what happens after that. He has given us eternal life. But friends, all that is possible if we surrender our life today and we ask him to forgive us. Remember, it's not your goodness, it is not your piety, it is not your religiosity that makes you stand approved before God. It is the fact that you surrender and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need help. Forgive me. And once you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. That is the guarantee the Bible gives. He will forgive every sin, wash you clean, and you can be brand new. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to surrender your life, if you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want to get right with God, if you want to have an assurance beyond this life, I want you to lift your hand and I want to pray for you. Anybody? Yes, I see hands. I see hands. Don't be embarrassed. Today, God is going to come into your heart. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're saying, I need forgiveness. I'm struggling. I have no peace. Oh, things are impossible in my life. I need God to intervene. Yeah, see your hands. Wherever you are, stand. Don't be embarrassed. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Yes, you're saying, I need forgiveness for my sins. I need God to wash me clean. I want to get right with God. Oh, I want God to move in my life. Friends, if you're standing and you're asking God to forgive you, to get right with God, lift your hand to heaven. And I want you to pray this after me from your heart. From your heart, pray this after me. Dear Jesus, you have come to make all things possible. Thank you for coming into our world on Christmas Day. Thank you for showing who God is. Thank you for shedding your blood on Calvary. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Wash me clean. Make me holy. Forgive every sin of my life. I want to get right with you. I want to follow you, Jesus. Reveal yourself to me. Wash every sin. Make me new. I promise to love you, to serve you, to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.